RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News and News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Airport briefly closed after Mount Manam eruption. Strong wind slams across Aceh Besar damaging houses. Parliament to summon KPU to discuss solutions of single candidate pair in Pilkada. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian delegation will bring 7 main issues to be discussed in the 48th ASEAN Ministerial Meeting held from August 1st to 6th in Putra World Trade Center, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. From the 7 issues, there are 2 issues that become focus of the Indonesian delegation, namely migrant workers and illegal fishing. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia Herman Prayetno said to media at Wisma Duta Besar Kuala Lumpur on Sunday, August the 2nd, that 2 major issues will be discussed because 3 million Indonesian migrant workers work in Malaysia, 50% of them are migrant workers without valid documents or undocumented. As an illustration, we know that in Malaysia there are about 30 million Indonesian migrant workers, but 50% of them are documented and 50% undocumented, something like that, so this is problematic. But sometimes the employers here are still willing to accept them. That is what we want, that Malaysian peoples should not accept those illegal peoples. Meanwhile, about the problem of illegal fishing, Herman Prayetno said that for so long, the sea border issues between Indonesia and Malaysia are still unclear, so people from the two nations could make a lot of activities at the sea with no punishment. They were only returned to their countries. Herman said the unclear sea borders also needs to be discussed among ASEAN member countries, especially to the countries which do not have definitive boundary lines. Herman Prayetno hopes that the government of Indonesia and Malaysia, as well as other ASEAN member countries, could communicate more intensively to provide the guidance for fishermen to avoid the unclear sea borders between ASEAN countries. The Mopah Airport in Merauke, Papua was briefly closed from Friday night until Saturday afternoon in response to the eruption of Mount Manam in Papua New Guinea, Jayapura Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, official Zem Padam said the temporary closure had been taken to hedge against the volcanic ash from the mountain that was flying toward the south. Zam said volcanic ash from the Mount Manam eruption has spread to the southern part of Papua, affecting Merauke and Bovendigul. The 1,807-meter high volcano is located on Manam Island, 12 kilometers north of Papua New Guinea. The volcano, which erupted on Friday afternoon, is situated 500 kilometers southeast of Jayapura, Papua's provincial capital, and over 1,000 kilometers northeast of Merauke. In late 2004, the volcano produced a major eruption that killed 5 people and displaced at least 9,000 local residents. A strong winds and heavy rain hit the Regency of Aceh Besar of Aceh, inflicting big material losses. The storm slammed across the villages of Lamsi and Lam Alening in the sub-district of Kuta Chotgli, causing serious and minor damages to 24 houses of the villagers on Sunday. head of the District Disaster Control Agency, BPBD Ridwan Jamil, said trees were uprooted or fell to block the roads. Ridwan said Deputy Regent Samsurizal had inspected the two villages and coordinated work to remove the ruins and fallen trees. He said fortunately there was no loss in life. Regent Mukhlis Basha had pledged relief aid for the victims through the District Social Affairs Office. Commission 2 Chairman of the House of Representatives DPR Rambe Kamaruzzaman said it planned to call the General Election Commission KPU to discuss solutions or for regions that still have a single candidate pair for simultaneous local elections Pilkada. He said to the press over the weekend. He emphasized that the discussion was urgent to do given the potential for increasing the number of regions with a single candidate pair for local elections. Rambe referred to the latest statement of KPU, which stated that there were 83 other regions potentially have a single candidate pair in the elections. He said for now the parliament is still consulting with government related to the next step. In addition to finding a solution, the meeting with KPU also planned to discuss the negative impacts if the election in 13 regions was postponed until 2017. According to Rambe, until today, the parliament undecided related to the election postponement. Previously, the commissioner of KPU, Hadar Nafis Gumai, said as many as 83 regions only had two candidate pairs who enrolled in the local elections. Therefore, the potential for a single candidate in the constituency of local elections could increase. The Bojonegoro Resort Police are questioning at least 20 people in relation with Saturday's riot at Banyu Urip oil work site in Cepu. So far in the investigation, no one has been named suspect. Police spokesman Agent Commissioner Basuki Nugroho told the press on Monday that the cops are still collecting information and questioning witnesses. So far, 20 people are being questioned. The people questioned are those who were present during and witnessed the incident. The police are also conducting a thorough investigation, collecting data and additional information, such as from the CCTVs located at the incident's location in Mojodelik village. In association with Saturday's riot in Cepu block, the local authorities are scheduled to hold a meeting between relevant parties at Bojonegoro Regent's house. The meeting will be mediated by the regent himself, Suyoto, and attended by representatives from the Directorate General of Oil and Gas, ExxonMobil, and the Special Task Force for Upstream Oil and Gas, SKK Migas. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Wonderful Indonesia is going on an art and culture campaign in London, Glasgow, and Cardiff of England starting from August until September. Represented by three art groups, the tour is named UK National Tour 2015 Discover Indonesia. Each of the three representing groups performs different art and culture show distinctive of some Indonesian regions. Kande, for example, performs rock ethnic music from Aceh. Pepper Moon Puppet Theatre presents contemporary puppet show from Jogja, and Surya Sumirat presents classic dances from Mangkunegaran Palace Solo. Workshop and artist talk are scheduled to enliven the tour. The artists will also collaborate with local artists to display Indonesian theme art. An art production house, Cryptic in Glasgow, for example, has designed a residency and visual art exhibition for Jompet Kuswi Dananto, photography exhibition, film screening, literary discussion, and Indonesian culinary bazaar. The UK Nation Tour is supported by the Indonesian Tourism Ministry, Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry, Aceh Culture and Tourism Agency, Indonesian Embassy for Great Britain, British Council and British Embassy for Indonesia. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama Ahok asked all teachers and alumni of State Senior High School 19 at Jalan Perniagaan Tambora West Jakarta, to participate in improving education quality. Ahok said when attended the 49th SMAN 19th anniversary Sunday. At this time, he stated, there is no more discrimination in schools such as international and excellent schools, etc. All schools are the same. In order to improve education quality in Jakarta, Jakarta provincial government is going to continuously help schools that are in need of assistance, such as building renovation and aid distribution to students with Jakarta Smart Card. Ahok also asked the SMAN 19 alumni who are involved in business sector to be honest and committed in running their business. For instance, it's by paying tax building tax and not commit cheating. The last item, Quran reading contest, the MTQ 14 National Students 2015 has served a relationship area of inter-students of many high learning institutes in the country, a rector has stated. Rector of University of Indonesia Muhammad Anis remarked in Depok on Sunday, the MTQ, which was participated in by a total of 1,863 students of 167 universities in Indonesia, was opened by University of Indonesia Rector Muhammad Anis on Saturday night. The participating universities in the Quran Reading Contest, including University of Indonesia, Bandung Institute of Technology, Gajah Mada University, Syiah Kuala University, Tadulako University, and Papua State University. There are 13 types of competition during the MTQ, which is held from August 1st to 8th. Among others, the debate over the knowledge of Quran in English and the computer-based Quran application design. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Airport briefly closed after Mount Manam eruption. Strong wind slams across Aceh Besar, damaging houses. Parliament to summon KPU to discuss solutions of single candidate pair in Pilkada. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on hopes on Chairman of Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah. Early in August this year has become an important time for the two largest Islamic organizations in Indonesia, namely Nahdlatul Ulama or NU and Muhammadiyah. Both organizations held a congress to choose a new chairman. Nahdlatul Ulama is holding its 33rd congress in Jombang, East Java, while Muhammadiyah its 47th congress in Makassar, South Sulawesi. Nahdlatul Ulama Congress has been officially opened by President Joko Widodo on August 1st. Approximately 40,000 people are attending the Congress, which is being held for the 12th time in East Java, and 4,000 of them are muktamirin, or participants who hold voting rights. The Congress, which is planned to be closed on August 5th by the Vice President, will elect Rais Am Syuria or Chairman of the Advisory Board and Chairman of Tanfiziyah or Executive Board of Nahdlatul Ulama. Many hopes are put on the next Chairman of Nahdlatul Ulama. President Joko Widodo, in his speech, expressed his expectation that Nahdlatul Ulama becomes a bridge of civilization between the country and the world. The president also wanted the organization, which was founded in 1926, play a role in the elevation of citizens from poverty, underdevelopment, and inequality. A realistic expectation, given the number of Nahdlatul Ulama members, has reached tens of millions of people. Hopefully, the elected leader will be able to empower the economy of its members, in particular, and people in general. On the other hand, Muhammadiyah opened its 47th Congress today, August the 3rd. The meeting, which will take place until August the 7th, will also elect the chairman of Muhammadiyah. Just like Nahdlatul Ulama, great expectations are also put on the next elected chairman. In its 103rd year, Muhammadiyah has now more than 22,000 entities. With so many entities, the top leader of the organization would be expected not only has great organizational skills, but also a person who has a strong network, both domestically and internationally. The Congress of the two Islamic organizations have become quite special, not just because they both have a great influence for the people of Indonesia, who are predominantly Muslims, but because both are holding the Congress in August, which coincides with the month of Syawal, 1436 Hijriah in Muslim calendar. Syawal for Muslims are often referred to as the month of victory after the trial ordeal in the fasting month. This month is also a momentum to further tighten friendship with mutual forgiveness. While the month of August for the people of Indonesia in general is considered as a special month because on August 17, 1945, Indonesia proclaimed its independence. Since then, August has become the moment to evaluate and reflect oneself on independence. Hopefully, the process in selecting the top leaders of both organizations will become a tangible manifestation of democracy in this country. May, under the new leadership, both Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah will have a greater significance not only for their members, but also for the people of Indonesia in keeping the Muslim Brotherhood as well as keeping the unity of Indonesia. Well, that was commentary today on hopes on Chairman of Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah, brought to you by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Steve, in our regular Today in History over at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on August 3, 2005, when Mahmoud Ahmadinejad became president of Iran. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is an Iranian politician who was the sixth president of Iran from 2005 to 2013. He was also the main political leader of the Alliance of Builders of Islamic Iran, a coalition of conservative political groups in the country. An engineer and teacher from a poor background, Ahmadinejad joined the Office for Strategic Unity after the Iranian Revolution. Appointed a provincial governor, he was removed after the election of President Muhammad Khatami and returned to teaching. Tehran's council elected him mayor in 2003. He took a religious hardline, reversing reforms of previous moderate mayors. His 2005 presidential campaign, supported by the Alliance of Builders of Islamic Iran, garnered 62% of the runoff election votes, and he became the president on the 3rd of August 2005. The next event was in 2005 when Mawia Ould Sid Ahmed Taya is a Mauritanian military officer who served as the president of Mauritania from 1984 to 2005. While Ould Taya was out of the country for the funeral of Saudi King Fahd in early August 2005, soldiers seized the government buildings and the state media. The group, which identified itself as the Military Council for Justice and Democracy, announced a coup d'etat in a statement run by the state news agency on August 3, 2005. And the last event was in 1960 when the Republic of Niger gained its independence. Independence Day in the Republic of Niger is commemorated on August 3, marking the nation's independence from the France in 1960. Since 1975, it is also Arbor Day, as trees are planted across the nation to aid the fight against desertification. Since 1960, the 3rd has been a national festival. In 1975, the government began. The celebrations are also known as the Fête de l'Arbre.
the 3rd is celebrated in Niger with official festivals and appearances of political leaders, an official broadcast by the president, as well as the tradition since 1975 that every Nigerian plant a tree. It is a public holiday in which government offices and many businesses close. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, ready for the 48th AMM in Malaysia. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia is to host a series of ministerial meetings in early August that focus on regional cooperation among the 10 member countries and partners in other countries, namely China, Japan, USA, India, and Russia. Malaysia, which holds the reins of leadership of ASEAN per January 1, 2015, will hold the 48th Conference of Foreign Ministers, the 16th Conference of Foreign Ministers of ASEAN Plus 3, and the 5th Conference of Ministers of Foreign Affairs of East Asia, as well as the 22nd ASEAN Regional Forum. The ASEAN Ministerial Meeting, or AMM, is being held from July the 31st to August the 6th in Putra World Trade Center, Kuala Lumpur. It is discussing the follow-up of the result of the 26th ASEAN Summit held on April the 27th and 28th, 2015 in Langkawi and Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. ASEAN Foreign Ministerial Conference and other related meetings, along with the dialogue partner countries, will also be part of the preparation for the 27th ASEAN Summit that will be held in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia in November 2015. Besides being attended by 10 ASEAN member countries, the 48th AMM will be followed by a number of friendly countries such as China, Japan, South Korea, Australia, USA, New Zealand, the European Union, Russia, and India. In addition, the 22nd ASEAN Regional Forum is a key forum for security and resilience dialogue in Asia, which will be held on August the 6th and will be followed by the 27 member states that have influence in the security sector in the Asia-Pacific region. The Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, which will host a delegation of the Republic of Indonesia that will follow the conference since early 2015, have prepared all the needs of the Indonesian delegation, as explained by the Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia, Herman Prayitno, to RRI World Service in Kuala Lumpur on Sunday afternoon at local time.
Sebenarnya sejak awal Januari 2015.
Actually, since the beginning of January 2015, the preparation had been made for the summit in April, where President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala also present. We had prepared everything for 1 year. So we have to anticipate and predict how the pack of the events in Malaysia will be. Because Malaysia is the chairman of ASEAN this year, so delegates have already been coming before August to coordinate with each other so that we prepare as well as possible to form a committee, an inventory of activities that will come, who will be present, then the problem of communication, transportation. That's all we have prepared. We held internal meetings in the embassy. We are also coordinating with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta. We are coordinating with Wisma Putra Malaysia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. All that are here is the responsibility of the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur for facilitating the delegation, so everything will go well.
Tanggung jawab memfasilitasi kegiatan delegasi ini bisa berjalan dengan baik.
Furthermore, Herman Prayitno explained, until now there has been no constraints faced by the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur in welcoming the Indonesian delegation to the 48th AMM. Indonesian delegation, consisting of various elements of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, will follow the entire series of the 48th ASEAN Ministerial Meeting, which had begun with the meeting of the ambassadors or permanent representatives of ASEAN, followed by a meeting of senior officials and ending with the meeting of foreign ministers of ASEAN. According to the plan, the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, will conduct 11 bilateral meetings with foreign ministers of ASEAN and its dialogue partners, as well as 15 mandatory meetings in the 48th AMM. The whole outcome of the ASEAN Foreign Ministers meeting will be taken to the 27th ASEAN Summit that will take place in November 2015 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Well, that was focus of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The Indonesian delegation will bring 7 main issues to be discussed in the 48th ASEAN Ministerial Meeting held from August 1 to 6 in Putra World Trade Center, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The Mopa Airport in Merauke, Papua was briefly closed from Friday night until Saturday afternoon in response to the eruption of Mount Manam in Papua New Guinea. A strong winds and heavy rain hit the Regency of Aceh Besar of Aceh, inflicting big material losses. The storm slammed across the villages of Lam Si and Lam Alening in the sub-district of Kota Chotgli, causing serious and minor damages to 24 houses of the villagers on Sunday. Commission to Chairman of the House of Representatives DPR Rambe Kamaralzaman said it planned to call the General Election Commission KPU to discuss solutions for regions that still have a single candidate pair for simultaneous local elections. The Brojonegoro Resort Police are questioning at least 20 people in relation with Saturday's riot at Banyu Urip oil work site in Cepu. So far in the investigation, no one has been named suspect. Wonderful Indonesia is going on an art and culture campaign in London, Glasgow, and Cardiff of England starting from August until September. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama Ahok has all teachers and alumni of State Senior High School 19 at Jalan Perniagaan Tambora, West Jakarta, to participate in improving education quality. Quran Reading Contest, the MTQ 14 National Students 2015, has served a relationship area of inter-students of many high learning institutes in the country. Rector of University of Indonesia Muhammad Anis remarked in Depok on Sunday. That was News in Brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In conjunction with the 70th anniversary of Indonesia's Independence Day, we'd like to introduce you to one competition that is usually held during the Indonesian's Independence Day anniversary, which is Panjat Pinang or Climbing Areca Tree Trunk Competition, which is always held on the anniversary of Republic of Indonesia. So, stay tuned. Listener, Pinang or Areca Chatechu is a species of palm which grows in much of tropical Pacific, Asia, and parts of East Africa. In Indonesia, this plant is used maximally. Its seeds is used as a mixture to eat betel, besides gambir or uncharia, and lime. Traditionally, areca nut is also used in the herb to treat dysentery, diarrhea, and also scabies. Betel nut is also commonly used to produce red dye and tanning materials. Areca nut tree has black roots. In the past, it was used to get rupee, or is used to attack enemies or the people who are not favored. Then the betel leaf midrib-like tubes known as wrapping pastries and food, while the trunk is often used as a media in Panjat Pinang or Areca Tree Trunk Climbing competitions in the Independence Day. Listener, many Indonesian people hold various competitions to celebrate Indonesian Independence Day on August the 17th. One of them is Panjat Pinang or Climbing Areca Trunk Competition. Climbing palm trunk uses areca tree as the main equipment for the competition. The areca trunk is smeared with lubricant, so that its surface is very slippery to make the participants of the competition difficult to climb it. On the peak of the trunk, there are various interesting gifts, such as umbrella, bicycle, and many more. The participants, who are divided into scum groups, compete to get the gift by climbing the trunk alternatively. Every member of the group has a duty depending on their physical characteristics. For example, a person who has big body will be on the bottom to lift the small one so that the load is not too heavy. Cooperation among members is needed because it is impossible to climb the trunk alone as it has been smeared by lubricant. If one team has failed, another team has a turn to climb it because the areca trunk is slippery so that the participants often fall when climbing it. This is a big challenge and also becomes interesting attraction for the audience. To reach the interesting gifts, the participants must work hard and work together. These are the noble values in the competition. Listener, climbing trunk competition is not an original traditional competition of Indonesian people. This competition was from the Dutch colonial era. In the past, these competitions was held by the Dutch people when they held a big party. And the participants of these competitions were the indigenous people of Indonesia. The prizes for grab were usually foods such as cheese, sugar, etc. For indigenous people, those foods were luxurious, so that many people were interested in participating in the competition. Although this competition was inherited from the Dutch, due to the noble values in the competition, Panjat Pinang of climbing Afrika Trunk is still preserved until now. Listener, in the developing era, Panjat Pinang for climbing Afrika tree trunk has changed. In the past, the prizes for grab were hanged on the trunk, but now only the names of or the number of the prizes were written on a gift voucher hanged on the trunk. And because Afrika tree is quite rare now, so in some regions in Indonesia, it is substituted with coconut tree or bamboo trunk. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We hope that our information will be very useful for you, and we will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Membuat Nasi Kuning, which is in English means cooking yellow rice. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Bahan-bahan, bahan-bahan, which means ingredient. Nasi kuning, which means yellow rice. Sederhana, sederhana, which means simple. Beras, beras, which means rice. Santan, santan, which means coconut milk. Kunyit, kunyit, which means turmeric. Daun salam, daun salam, which means bay. Bawang merah, bawang merah, which means red onion. Bawang putih, which means onion. Garam, which means salt. Telur, telur, which means egg. Ayam, ayam, which means chicken. Cabai, cabai, which means chili. Kacang, kacang, which means peanut. Sambal, sambal, which means chili sauce or condiment. Praktis, praktis, which means practical. Bumbu instan, bumbu instan, which means instant seasoning. Pasar, pasar, which means market. Tradisional, tradisional, which means traditional. Di luar negeri, which means abroad. Memperkenalkan, memperkenalkan, which means to introduce. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Membuat Nasi Kuning, or in English means cooking yellow rice. The conversation is between Nita
N. Erna at home. A. Nita, pagi-pagi kamu mau pergi ke mana? Pagi-pagi kamu mau pergi ke mana? Which means, where are you going? B. Erna, saya mau pergi ke pasar. Saya mau pergi ke pasar, which means I'm going to the market. Saya mau membeli bahan-bahan untuk membuat nasi kuning. Saya mau membeli bahan-bahan untuk membuat nasi kuning, which means I want to buy some ingredients for making yellow rice. Teman saya hari ini berulang tahun. Teman saya hari ini berulang tahun, which means today is my friend's birthday. Saya mau memberi dia nasi kuning sebagai kadonya. Saya mau memberi dia nasi kuning sebagai kadonya, which means I want to give him or her yellow rice as a gift. A. Nita, apa saja bahan-bahan untuk membuat nasi kuning? Apa saja bahan-bahan untuk membuat nasi kuning? Which means, what ingredients for making yellow rice? B. Erna, saya mau membuat nasi kuning yang sederhana saja. Saya mau membuat nasi kuning yang sederhana saja. Which means, I want to cook a simple yellow rice. Bahan-bahannya antara lain, bahan-bahannya antara lain, which means some ingredients such as beras, which means rice, santan, coconut milk, kunyit, turmeric, daun salam, salam leaves or bay, daun sereh, lemongrass, bawang merah, red onion, bawang putih, onion, garam, salt. Selain itu, saya juga akan membeli telur dan ayam untuk digoreng sebagai pelengkap nasi kuning. Selain itu, saya juga akan membeli telur dan ayam untuk digoreng sebagai pelengkap nasi kuning. Which means, besides, I also want to buy eggs and chicken to be fried as a complementary of yellow rice. Cabai dan kacang untuk sambalnya, which means chili and peanut for the sauce. A. Nita, Oh, banyak juga ya bahan-bahannya, which means there are so many ingredients. B. Erna, Ada cara yang lebih praktis, which means there also another practical way. Sekarang, banyak bumbu nasi kuning instan yang tersedia di pasar. Which means cooking yellow rice with instant seasoning that can be found at the market. Biasanya, saya mengirim bumbu nasi kuning instan untuk teman-teman saya di luar negeri. Which means, usually I send instant yellow rice seasoning for my friends abroad. Itu adalah cara praktis untuk membuat makanan tradisional Indonesia. Which means, it is a practical way to make Indonesian traditional food. Walaupun di luar negeri, mereka tetap dapat memperkenalkan makanan tradisional Indonesia. Which means, although they stay away from home, they can introduce traditional Indonesian food there. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner.
presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. And in today's edition, I present you an Indonesian female keroncong singer, Sundari Sukojo. Her specialty in keroncong has made her got the title as the goddess of Indonesia's keroncong. Well, listener, now let's listen to the song entitled Bandung Selatan di Waktu Malam. Here is the song. Bandung Selatan di Waktu Malam song was composed by Ismail Marzuki in 1948. The song is about the beauty of the south of Bandung at night time. The beauty of Bandung Selatan or South Bandung di Waktu Malam. The beauty of Bandung Selatan di Waktu Malam or South Bandung at night, it's difficult to forget when the West Javanese bamboo flute playing melodious songs. Sundari Sukocho or Untinasi Sukocho was born and grew up in a military family. Little Sundari got to know the music blares from his father, Sukocho Ronodiharjo. All it was evasive to practice singing, but Sundari admitted that she loves kroncong music. Then she started kroncong from several teachers. In 1977, she became interested in kroncong. And in 1979, she became the second winner on radio and TV star singing contests on kroncong category for adult women. At that time, Sundari, or fondly called Unti, was 14 years old. Kebaya outfit made her look more mature than her age. She was also strongly criticized for getting caught to being still a minor. In 1983, Sundari won a Radio Star Television singing competition. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kerinduan. Happy listening.
Sampai
Listener, this song tells a very deep longing for a lover. A full moon brings back old memories. Although it has long gone, but the desire is still there. This song is sung very well by Sundari Sukojo. Keroncong rhythm with beautiful lyrics is more perfect with the singer's sweet voice. In 2002 became a year of blessing for Sundari when she released an original keroncong song entitled Ingkar Janji, her first original album that accompanied by keroncong music. Thanks to this album, she was named the recipient of Keroncong Award 2002 organized by Yayasan Bina Suci and Radio Republic of Indonesia. On August 14, 2002, she passed a degree in music by the Jakarta State University, formerly known as Teachers Training College, with a score quite satisfactory. The woman who had earned her doctorate claimed to be still trying to sing keroncong since it is still loved by many people. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sepenggal Kenangan and Cinta Abadi. Here are the songs.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011 Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.